You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. Hello everyone and welcome back to Ravens Weekly. This is episode 94. That's right, we're only six from 100 now. My name is Matt Hall and I'm joined...
Like it's that now this is music and the number just keeps getting higher and higher and at some point it's got to end.
He just intros himself. That's Jeff Hutton, ladies and gents. Here he is. Jeff, thanks for joining me again today.
Evening, everyone.
It's been a whirlwind week.
Whenever you're listening.
It's a whirlwind week, Jeff. That's what we call the podcast.
That's what we've gone for, whirlwind week.
It is, isn't it, Jeff?
That's fitting, it's fitting.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Is the manager still here? Is the cat still here? Is Scott going to Wembley as head chef?
Oh,
so many questions.
Rumour mill.
And he's still here though.
Oh yes, yeah.
The cat, not the manager. I mean, where's the manager's on the coach? He's on. He's on. The
manager's
coach,
on his way to Grimsby as we speak.
To Grimsby. Done his interviews normal Thursday, didn't he? Everything's
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Business as usual on that side of things.
Indeed.
Obviously, in terms of training, etc. Obviously, the cat. Yeah, the cat's still here again. Flooded on Twitter, I know, and emails, etc. And I think I've started replying to the people that have dropped an email in directly. Obviously, yeah. I mean, Gareth's future always he's up for debate. Every 6 months, he always ends up being found somewhere that he shouldn't be, etc. And I know some people jumped ahead and have organised his move to, or we're outside of the transfer window anyway, aren't we? But talks about his move to Beckenham Town. And I know Pete was down the other day, wasn't he? Had a little photo with him in the Ravens bar. I can't remember.
Indeed.
I saw that on social media. Was it Wednesday or Thursday? Talking about social media, actually. Obviously, personal things and stuff aside, seeing the photos of Gareth just over the years was quite nice, actually. Seeing everybody put up their favourite photos and stuff. Loads of people dug out photos that I've taken from years and years ago as well. Yeah, that was quite... that was nice to see, to be fair.
It was. Bless him.
But yeah, he's still here. He's probably sleeping, though.
He's currently asleep. Yes.
Breaking news, he's sleeping. So, yeah, the cat's still here. Right, can we talk about football now, Matt?
I think so. This is
brilliant.
A football podcast.
Here we go.
Let's do that. I think we're allowed. Anyway, we're going to start off with Aldershot Town, which, of course, was the second time that Bromley had been there this season. The previous occasion, back in October, it was a 3-2 win that day. And this time, the FA Trophy, and obviously a competition that means a fair bit to us, Jeff.
Yes, yeah, no, like you say, not only getting to Wembley, and obviously, me making a mistake that got us kicked out of it afterwards, anyway. Yeah, like you say, I think the interesting build-up to it was obviously the talk with regards to the team and the lineup, who would play, who wouldn't. Obviously, it was a fairly youthful side in the first time, wasn't it, at Dover?
I think
when
you say fairly, I think we touched on it in one of the interviews. I think I'm right in saying there were four players on the pitch at the end of the game over the age of 21 for Bromley, which is absolutely incredible. A lot of those players were in the FA Youth Cup side, which are 16, 17-year-olds. Unbelievable to get the win on the day. This time, I think a lot of fans were umming and ahhing as to whether in, you know, candidly, we were going to take it seriously or not.
We were talking about it on the podcast on the Friday, weren't we?
Absolutely.
We weren't sure the night before we were talking about it. I think Andy obviously referred to it in his interviews about the fact that, you know, it's serious competition, and at the time we were, what, four or five games from Wembley?
Yeah.
I mean, you do forget that in the trophy sometimes. So, but yeah, like you say, Matt, the lineup on the day, from the outside, I think it was quite a good balance because, like you say, there were players that were sort of rewarded and given another opportunity. But also you had a lot of experience in there and I thought a good balance.
It was an excellent balance, and I think that the side that started the game, obviously, there were a couple of changes made at half-time, but people like Finlay Lovett, who has done really well, scored the goal to beat Dover, of course, was rewarded with a start in that game, did very well. Young players like Marcus Sablier coming on and actually setting up the second goal. Brilliant to see Joe Partington as well score his first goal for Bromley.
And what a celebration.
What a strike it was. What a strike it was. Absolutely brilliant.
I don't know if I divulge this or not, but I think Andy was not sure if he was going to take him off at half time or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what he said. I caught him on the Monday at breakfast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Incredible. Well, it was a brilliant goal. And of course, the second one, an equally brilliant goal, very different though. Marcus Sablier.
the creating force, and George Alexander with the finish, and a clean sheet, another clean sheet for Reece Charles-Cook as well, which is his third, I think, in as many games. Absolutely brilliant. I think Jeff will hand over to the commentary on the day, which will provide us with the lowdown on those goals.
Bingham's also free on the edge.
Bingham is free on the edge in acres of space. All the Aldershot players back again to defend this one. Partington goes for the shot from distance. Oh, what a strike that is from Joe Partington. An absolutely outstanding free kick. And he scores his first Bromley goal in quite some fashion. Bromley take the lead here. It's Joe Partington with a brilliant free kick. And it's the Ravens who lead. Outstanding work, Dan.
Brilliant free kick. We were just saying we would have thought Bush would have taken it on, but it suits the right footer. And Partington, who we were very surprised it was going to be over the free kick, has just bent it over that wall into that near corner. And Walker had absolutely no chance in the shot's goal.
Played up towards Alexander. Can Francis get onto it? Francis round the corner for Sablett. It's 2-on-2 here as Sablett and Alexander run at the Aldershot defence. Still Sablett in towards Alexander. Great pass. George Alexander scores! And it's 2-0 to Bromley. And you'd think that that might just be about that. Brilliant play from Marcus Sablett. Like a knife through hot butter, that pass. And a wonderful finish from George Alexander.
Thanks must go to Dan, that being Dan Bentley, of course, my co-commentator, for letting me know that was a goal when it went into the net, because I wasn't sure when I was commentating, to be fair, but Dan's shout gave me a bit of reassurance there. Brilliant support on the day from the Bromley fans, and it was their travel was rewarded, wasn't it? And a passage through to the next round, Jeff. Bit of a blast from the past, this one. Tunbridge Angels.
Tunbridge Angels down to the Longmeads.
Unbelievable.
I remember some great games in the Ryman Prem. Conference South.
Yeah. The local derby at the time, wasn't it? In for a few years in that level of
Kent
football.
Do we have a Kent City Cup final against them as well, I think?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, we did, yeah. That was in the promotion winning season.
Yes,
Peter Adonai scored.
Yeah.
One of the goals. And we beat him at our place. I think it was 3-1 or something like that. That must have been 2006, 7. But yeah, and then also when I did the email this week, the other one that came to mind was the FA Cup. I think it was 2010, 11 maybe. Ryan, it was down at Longmead, that one, and that was Ryan Hall and Donald O'Sullivan.
Brilliant support on the day from Bromley as well, wasn't it?
Massive.
Behind the goal. Incredible. Absolutely brilliant.
Are they doing anything special with ticket prices now? Because I think it'd be a really big crowd down there.
I think it'll be massive, yeah. They'd be silly not to, wouldn't they? I don't think their fans, Jeff, were actually too happy with the draw when they got it. Our fans were absolutely buzzing, especially the longer-standing supporters.
Considering we knew we were going to get an away tie, it was one of the most...
Oh, fantastic. I'm buzzing with it.
Away ties, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. That does, of course, mean that the Stockport County home game that was on that day has been rearranged, and that's for the following Tuesday, which is the 15th.
Yeah, I mean, a good thing it's been rearranged sort of so quickly in that period, because otherwise we would have been without a home game in the whole
for a whole month. Yeah,
it's going to be incredibly challenging for the players, for the managers, for the boys. No doubt about that.
Of course,
like I say, that's why the next two home games are so important.
Absolutely.
But yeah, like you say, away draw. We all knew it. So like I say, if we were going to get an away draw, I suppose it's not the worst of all of them.
Absolutely, Jeff. Moving on then back to interviews now. And the man who's currently on his way up to Grimsby with the team.
Still here at the moment.
He is, yeah. And it's Andy Woodman.
So, Andy, it's been an eventful week, but all focus is very much on the trip to Grimsby at the weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. Looking forward to going there. Hopefully completing a double over one of our first teams on the sort of turnaround. But it won't be easy. You know, they was one of the favourites at the beginning of the season. They come down last year. And, it's going to be a tough place to go. Grimsby is always a tough ground to go to. A little bit hostile, as it were, in the old days. So I'm looking forward to going there. Yeah, it's a good test for us.
And we touched on it after the Aldershot game on Saturday. It was one of those nights, wasn't it? It was just a really special night when we beat Grimsby here 3-1. The atmosphere was fantastic, and it was a wonderful performance on the night.
Yeah, I probably put that down as probably our best performance of the season so far. Not just because we got the result, but just the way we handled Grimsby and we played on the night. That said, we shouldn't be silly enough to remind ourselves that Grimsby played on the Saturday, then had to travel back down on the Tuesday because it was a cancelled game. So that'd be a different outfit. So it'd be a tough game for sure.
And progression in the FA Trophy as well, obviously saw us drawn away to Tunbridge Angels. A nice local one. A few of the longer serving fans will have seen that as a local derby a few years ago.
I didn't know that. Obviously, I know they're local. Yeah, I mean, listen, we'll pay them the utmost respect because, you know, they're going to be a good team. So, yeah, we'll be taking that very seriously and hopefully putting ourselves a little bit closer to Wembley.
And training-wise, how's the week been for the boys?
Yeah, they've been good. They've been on it. We've had a really good week's work into the lads. So, and we're prepping for this game. And, yeah, we're all systems go as normal.
And it is all focus, obviously, on that game this weekend. But we look ahead to next week. Two massive home games and drumming up the support as kids go free. Hopefully another fantastic atmosphere. We talk about that Grimsby night and hopefully replicating that.
Yeah, we need the fans to come in as much as possible. You know, they really do help us. And I say that regularly. But it makes a big difference. But we've got a big month coming up. You know, a real sort of pivotal month, in my opinion, of our season. But, you know, look, we've got to be in amongst it. We've got to keep winning matches. And that's what we're going to keep trying to do.
Andy.
Brilliant, as always, to catch up with Andy. And we've actually got quite a few other people we're going to hear from in this podcast.
Makes a change hearing from us.
Well, you know, you have got us both here all the time. So it's nice to give you a little break from our voices. Now, the next one, I think it's a brilliant story, isn't it, Jeff? A player that's sort of spent a lot of time previously in the under-23s. And then he got his chance in the first team and he just didn't really look back, did he? Jude Arthur's the epitome of what it's all about, just running around all over the pitch, loads of energy, loads of desire. It's brilliant to see.
Definitely, yeah, 100%. Like I say, I think a lot of people talk about experience and age and height and everything like that, but I think, when did he... What was the period? It was a period at the end of last season, wasn't it, in that 13-game run?
So I think he actually made his debut in the, if I remember rightly, in the FA Trophy or FA Cup. I can't remember, forgive me. But he was playing at right-back on his debut, I think. And then towards the end of the season, he was blooded in his actual midfield position. And he scored the goal, didn't he, against Hartlepool. He scored against Chesterfield in the home game.
The energy levels at the time in that period were just off the right.
Yeah, and he had a brilliant pre-season as well, I believe. He scored against Arsenal in the 3-1 victory that night. And yeah, he's just an engine. He's like a Duracell bunny. He's all over the pitch. It's absolutely brilliant. We thought it would be a good idea to catch up with him this week as someone who's been in the side recently and playing very good football. Here's what he had to say.
Jude Arthurs, thanks for joining us today. We're going to start by talking about the match away to Aldershot last Saturday. A great win on the day, a 2-0 victory, and really good to see a mixture of younger and more experienced players in the team.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, for myself as well, I felt like one of the older players playing. But no, it's definitely good to see. You can see the young players that are coming through here, and it's got a bright future for certainly myself and all the other young players. So no, it's just really good.
And I think you could see that as well at Dover, couldn't you? I think on the pitch at the end of the game, there were 3 or 4 players left over the age of 21, yeah. Which is incredible, isn't it? To get a win as well.
Yes, it's just good to be fair. It's not many. I don't see many other clubs sort of pushing these young players forward and giving them opportunities like this to go and play in the first team, playing first team games and being in around the first team environment. So no, it's credit to all the coaches really and they're working through the academies and pushing the players through.
And faith has always been put in recent times in younger players here, including yourself, including Marcus, including Liam Vincent and so on. How do you deal with that pressure when you're thrown into it sometimes unexpectedly?
Yeah, so the players are good. Even the coaches, they put their belief in you, which obviously makes you, when you go out on the pitch, just play your normal game. And yes, it's good to see, really.
And something I guess helps with that as well is the support of the fans and that vocal backing behind you. We've seen it at home games this season, yeah. Grimsby in particular, we always talk about that one.
Yeah.
But the away games, even when they're smaller in number, it's just as important, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the fans that come to the games is a massive boost for us players when we're playing, especially when we go to like the likes of Chesterfield, Stockport, these bigger teams, and we're bringing such good numbers, really, to the games. And you can definitely tell that there's a... You feel like there's a lot more fans than there is just by how vocal they are during the game. So no, it's definitely supported and we need that to continue.
And of course, we talk about that support. And on Saturday, it's another long trip to Grimsby. I'm sure we'll be seeing a few of them. But it was a great game back here earlier in the season and hopefully expecting another one and hopefully a good result.
Yeah, hopefully we can go there with a game plan and do what we do and get a point. So we try and do that every week. So no, definitely need the support of the fans to come up and give us that extra push, but no doubt that they will.
And you've made that transition into first team football really, really well. How are you feeling this season in terms of your own performances?
Yeah, no, I think I've just got to keep learning off of, like you say, like the older players in the team. Just keep improving, keep making sure I've put myself so I can play, keep myself fit, keep ticking over and keep doing the right things, and then hopefully I keep getting the opportunities to go out and play and show what I can do.
And there's great role models in the team from the likes of yourself and Marcus in terms of Liam Trotter, and more recently Scott Wagstaff, and of course Billy Bingham. It's a great midfield pack, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great to learn off, especially them sorts of players that have played higher and know the game very well. Like you said, you mentioned them three there, they're just day in, day out good to watch. And even if you're not just talking to them, it's good to just watch them and watch how they train and watch how they play. So yeah, no, it's definitely something that's improved my game just by watching and talking to them, little pointers here and there.
Well, Jude, it's always great to catch up. Thanks again for your time.
No worries, mate. Thank you.
Matt, always great to hear from Jude there. Obviously, moving away from first team affairs, well, sort of anyway, and the community, Matt, we've been out and about this week.
We have been out and about, lots of trips to and from, and it's been absolutely fantastic. So we have launched, as we mentioned on the last podcast, the After Schools programme at Harris Primary Academy in Orpington. And this week, we thought we'd do a little player visit. So on Wednesday, we had the pleasure of welcoming Scott Wagstaff and Marcus Sablier to the After School Club. And then on the Thursday, the older age group were...
By the way, I've got to say a shout out. I shouldn't laugh, but some of the comments with the photos. Josh got some great photos of...
brilliant photos. Of the players. Big up, Josh.
On Wednesday, and and there's one shot where all the players have got their hands up, and people have just jumped on and started commenting about, what is it, hands up if you want to save the cats.
Yeah. Deary me. but yeah, on Thursday, we had Byron Webster and Jude Arthurs as well. Funnily, Jude Arthurs, straight after that interview, was off down to the school. And the players really, really engaged so well with the kids. As soon as we walked into the building, eyes were lighting up. Oh, it's Bromley FC. It's the Bromley players. Absolutely fantastic. And they really are a bunch of players that want to do things like this. And we've passed on our thanks as a community department.
I suppose you've got the right mix there in terms of you've got some experienced players. You've got Scott Wagstaff, you've got Byron, who have I'm sure have done that numerous, you know, sort of have done those kind of appearances numerous times over the years and for former clubs and stuff. But for who is it, Jude, and for Marcus, you know, probably a bit of a new setting for them, really, to be maybe seen as role models, etc., to be in that environment and to experience it. It was really good to see all round, like I say, but. Yeah, like you say, for two of the experienced ones, brilliant. For the two younger lads to be in that environment, and they've got incredibly intelligent heads on their shoulders, etc. I'm sure they're probably aware anyway. But yeah, you could just see the kids looking up to them. You know, it was really, yeah, really, really good to see.
Absolutely fantastic. And they really got themselves involved. They were joining in with the warm-ups with Stuart Says. That's one of our coaches, Game Stuart Green. He calls it Stuart Says. joining in with the matches as well.
Be silent.
I've been called Simon recently. Anyway, that's a different story. Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant to see, and they really did enjoy it. You could see the smiles on their faces, and what great role models for the kids to look up to. In particular, Scott Wagstaff was absolutely brilliant with the way that he spoke, and we're going to hear from him shortly. But it's just nice, Jeff, isn't it, to give something back to these kids and get the players out there and show actually what we're all about.
Definitely, yeah. A big shout out to Harris. It's obviously been remarkably difficult with the COVID and different kinds of restrictions, and all schools having different systems in place, etc. And you know, we work with a lot of the local primary schools, but a lot of it we had, like you say, Matt, we haven't. This is the first one, probably this term from before Christmas. Well, we managed to get into St James's, didn't we?
Yeah, St James's in Petswood.
So,
yeah.
So to feel like things are slowly getting semi back to normal, and we're able to get out there and engage. It's been so rewarding, so refreshing, and been a really positive kickstart really to the new year.
Absolutely, and a big thank you to Nick Gearing, the PE teacher at Harris Primary Orpington, who is known to the football club and has been for a few years now, and who was really pivotal in us gaining that relationship with them. So we're going to hear from a few people now regarding the visit.
Did you take off his Latin Orient?
He did, actually.
Just double checking.
I'm sure Nick will be listening to this. So we're going to hear now from Scott Wagstaff, Byron Webster, Nick Gearing, and a couple of pupils as well, which is absolutely brilliant. Here we go.
So, Scott, we're here at Harris Primary Academy in Orpington. Now, what have you been up to today?
Well, we've been just joining in with the kids, doing a few sessions. They're keeping us on our toes as well, which is good fun. But no, the kids have been brilliant. They've loved us, having us down here, and obviously showing them a few skills. I think Marcus was better than me, to be honest with you. And he's been listening a lot better. But no, it's been good fun. It's been good fun, and obviously seeing the kids enjoying themselves, that's the main thing.
Mate, it's great to be able to give something back, isn't it, to the community?
Yeah, it always is. I'm saying the club's doing a great job with the coaching that they're doing here, and obviously getting us down as well, it helps. And we've really enjoyed it, and obviously the more that we do this, the better it's going to be for the kids, and they look like they're having fun anyway, so that's the main thing.
And you've only been at Bromley a short time, but you've seen quite a lot of the community activities and the kids and stuff that we've been doing. How have you found that, and what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, obviously I think the first game I played, I was saying to you earlier, I went out onto the pitch and I just see loads of kids on the pitch, and I was like, what's going on here, boys? And they said, obviously the community is a massive part of the club, and I've seen that, like you said, the first week I've been in, it's been excellent. There's always kids on the pitches doing bits, the coaching's been good. I've always been taking a little time out to have a look at it as well, because I'm at that sort of age now that I'm maybe sort of looking into maybe going to that sort of side of it, and it's good to see what you guys get up to, and obviously take a few ideas from that as well. But no, it's been really good, and like I said, that's the main thing, is that the kids enjoy it, and they look like they are.
Yeah, it's fantastic from the club, you know, fantastic for the kids to go and watch a proper football game as such, and they get to see the atmosphere, and like the questions we had at the start, you know, a lot of kids are interested in how do you become a footballer, you know, and hopefully they see it, they enjoy it, and you know, they strive to become a footballer.
So Nick, the Bromley FC Community Sports Trust has started the after-school club here at Harris Primary, Orpington. How's it been so far?
Yeah, it's been fantastic. It's nice to have, you know, the local community club get involved with the school. It's nice to have the kids to have a bit of some role models, especially here today. We've got some players here today. It's great to have the you know, some actual footballers here, which is a lot of them have said. You know, a lot of kids here aren't getting to see many matches, many footballers. So it's great to have them down here, giving out tickets as well. All great stuff, but you know, the coaches have been fantastic.
It feels like a dream, as I've always wanted professional footballers to help me and train me, so it is like a dream to me. I'm meeting them in real life and playing with them.
Oh, brilliant, Matt. A lovely, wholesome piece of content there, Matt. Really, really good to hear, both the players and the kids who enjoyed it, obviously taking part. And I know it's been an awful whirlwind of a week and all that sort of stuff, but a little reminder, you know, the heart and soul of the club still very much out there in the community. And it's brilliant to see, like you say, touch wood, future young fans, they'll be here for our next two home games, etc. And another big thanks for the first team players that were involved in it. Absolutely brilliant.
They were brilliant. And all the kids on the way out were saying, we're definitely going to be there. We'll definitely come in, telling the parents on the way out, we are going to Bromley next week, which was quite interesting. It seemed to go down quite well, actually. But a big shout out to all the players. I know Byron Webster's put it on Instagram as well. A very rewarding experience for everybody involved, including me and Josh, who were there, obviously seeing it as well. So brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Thank God the players were there. Sticking on the community front then, obviously, we've got some brilliant news. Some brilliant news on the Man versus Fat scheme, Matt.
Yes, Man v Fat.
Project,
obviously,
sorry?
Yes, project, something we've been doing since July, actually, and the impact that it's had on the community, and the fact that over 60 men were signed up for last season. We've got 84 signed up for this season, and a waiting list as well. Absolutely incredible. Really, really good. We've been nominated for Man v Fat Club of the Year in the Southeast region, which is brilliant.
More impressively, more importantly, and more awardingly, Coach Ali,
what a man Coach Ali is. He's one of our lead community coaches who works on all kinds of things, from the soccer schools to our midweek stuff, to the camps, to Bromley Youth, and of course Man v Fat as well. And he is,
by the way, he got his UEFA B before Christmas,
didn't he? He did. Congratulations, Ali, along with his degree. What an asset he is. He is absolutely fantastic, really good guy as well. And the Man v Fat participants adore him. He's just got such a good manner with them, and he has been nominated for Man v Fat Coach of the Year. What a fantastic achievement. Regardless of what happens, we're very proud of Ali, and Ali should be very proud of himself. So congratulations to him, and we hope to hear some good news.
Fingers crossed. When's it, Saturday?
Ceremony is the 5th of February, so a little bit of a wait yet, but it will be virtual, so I guess we'll be tuning in virtually.
Virtual.
Unfortunately, no cocktails and canapés
gala dinner
on arrival, no black tie event.
I would have gone with him.
Anyway, moving on from that, we've got some academy results, which on the whole, Jeff, were very impressive, weren't they?
Were they?
They were, yes. Shall I go through them then?
I thought we were going on to the youth. Apologies, to go to the academy.
Oh, sorry, that's my fault. I've skipped ahead.
I've got a different running order here.
That's my fault, I've skipped ahead. I'll take this bit and I'll pass back to you then. So the under-18s were 5-3 victors over Western Supermare away this week. What a trip that is. Remember those back in the day in the Conference South. Under-17s, 3-0 winners against Whitstable. Unfortunately, the other under-17s lost 4-0 away to Boreham Wood. The under-17s then went on to beat Averley 3-2. The LSET group had a 2-0 victory in the week as well. And the Ravensbourne A group, 1.4s, or sorry, 0.1s, I think, is what it says here, beat Cooper's School 4-2, a bit of a local derby. So congratulations
to all
of them.
There's a lot of teams, a lot of ages.
There are a lot.
I tend to split up as under-17s and under-18s, basically.
I think that's what we've tried to do here.
Big thank you to the academy. Thanks to Josh as well. I know we're trying to get more of the academy coverage up and the results, etc., and the exposure that it deserves. So bear with us on that. We are trying to make that happen. And yeah, great to see that coverage. Great to see some of the goals as well. And the kits, by the way. Have you seen the pink kit?
Oh, brilliant.
It must glow in the dark or something. I'm sure of it.
You don't need the floodlights on if there's an evening game played with that, trust me.
And we're doing a youth now, aren't we?
Yeah, sorry. So that was what we were meant to do. I'll hand over to you on that one.
So that was a... why are you handing over to me? Oh, yes, under 14
girls. You were
girls.
There, yes.
Under 14 girls, absolutely brilliant. That was played on the stadium pitch on Sunday. They were in the semi-final of the Kent Youth League Cup. I hope I've got that right. No, Kent County Cup. It was a Kent County Cup, I think. And yeah, they were phenomenal. 2-0 at half time. Eventually, run out 6-0 winners.
6-0, unbelievable.
Just the afternoon was lovely. Great to see so many parents come out, so many siblings come out. On top of that, our women's team were there, and the coaching staff and the players were there, and they helped with the warm up, etc. I think it inspired me on the touchline, but I hope it inspired the girls as well. I think it was great to see the women's team there on site supporting the girls. And yeah, again, just one of those lovely afternoons that remind you why you're all doing it. Yeah, a massive congratulations to the girls' manager, Conroy Barnett, obviously assistant manager, Les Bennett, and also Coach Ali involved as well in supporting that team as well.
So he's everywhere.
Absolutely brilliant. We've got some more cup action, haven't we, this Sunday?
We do, yes. The under-15s are going to be taking on Herne Bay in the Kent Youth League Cup quarter-final to see who's going to move on then to the semi-finals.
And that's on the stadium pitch, isn't it?
It is. So good luck to them. That's on the 23rd of January, Sunday. And we hope to have some good news on that next week. Best of luck to everyone involved. Moving on then to the under-23s. Remember this one, Jeff. Bromley under-23s... losing at half-time against Corinthian Reserves. Ended up winning 9-2. Commentated on the stream that night.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Absolutely incredible.
Finley Lovett live-streamed that one as well.
With 4 goals in 20 minutes, I think. Unbelievable stuff. Well, now it is the reverse fixture for the under-23s on Saturday, away at Corinthian Reserves. So best of luck to Steve, Jamel and the team in the under-23s. And hopefully they can get just as good a result this time. That would be absolutely fantastic. The commentary and the stream that night, I'm just looking at Josh now, was quite something. On a very cold night.
They haven't had a home game for a while. Are they back at home soon?
They are, yes. It's the Friday after next, isn't it? Where they're home to Oxford City. And of course, you'll be able to come on down and support them for that. The support has actually been very good at home for the under-23s this season. A lot of people coming down to get behind them and get some more football fix. So let's hope we can carry that on Friday after next.
Right, back to First Team Affairs, Matt. Just a little case of a trip up to Grimsby on Saturday.
Just a small trip, isn't it?
What time is Coach departing?
8:30.
I'll set my alarm.
Yes, 8:30. Early start and hopefully a good game in prospect. Of course, we rewind to the game here at Hayes Lane.
I know you hate me interrupting you. As we're speaking, there are still spaces left on the coach?
There are indeed, yeah. Go to the website, bromleyfc.co.uk, book your place. You snooze, you lose. Right, anyway, it was a great game at Hayes Lane earlier on in the season. Bromley going 1-0 down, and that was the score at the half-time break. We got a little bit wet in the gantry.
Wasn't very impressed with the coverage that afternoon, I must admit. Second half, I thought the camera work was a bit suspect.
Mainly because most of the stuff in the gantry blew over, and also we couldn't really breathe.
The gantry hold water like that.
We couldn't breathe at one point. The wind and the rain was that bad. We had to stop, and literally, I kid you not, 25 seconds before Michael Cheek scored was when we started the commentary and the video again. And that goal went in, it all turned on its head, didn't it?
The footage from it is so dark. Like, there's so much going wrong with the electrics up there at that point as you're filming. It's like,
not only honestly, the electrics.
It was... But yeah, like I said, it was, at least it was captured on camera.
It was.
And that was a great second half.
Turning point, wasn't it?
Oh.
And then, of course, further goals from Corey Whiteley and James Alabi sealed the win on the night. And it was, well, like I said in the commentary, biblical conditions on the night. We were soaked. But the 3 points stayed at home at Hayes Lane. And I think at the time we were the first team to beat Grimsby. In the season. This is obviously going back a few months, but I think we were the first team to beat Grimsby. So big achievement on the night. It's going to be a tough trip. The last time, I think we spoke about this before, Jeff, the last time we went up there didn't really go to plan, did it? I think you were there on that one.
Oh, Lord, yeah. Did we change? We signed a player.
Callum Davies.
Callum Davies. Was it the day before the game?
Yeah.
I had to get a shirt printed in the club shop, in their club shop before the game, which wasn't great. And then we played 3-4-3, which we hadn't played all season so far, all pre-season. And we were 2-3-0 down in the first half. And then Callum Davies scored
on half time. Yeah.
At nowhere, on the stroke of half time. So it was either, was it 3-1, I reckon, or 4-1?
3-1, I think.
3-1 half time. Oh, here we go. And then he got subbed off.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember, did it end 4-1 or something? 4-1, like that?
Yeah. Oh, dear. Not a good afternoon. Let's hope this one is a bit different. So, as you've heard on the podcast recently, we like to get the view from the opposition.
Why do we always look back at awful games like that? Why do we keep
It's just part
them
of
up?
Being a Bromley fan,
why
isn't
do we keep
it, I think?
Them up?
It's just part of being Bromley.
I'm proud that we were there for that. Like,
don't get me started on Solihull of a few years ago. here is Josh Hutton, believe it or not.
You're making it out now.
Josh Hutton. Seriously, we've got Jeff Hutton and Josh Tindall in the room with me. This guy's called Josh Hutton. He's a Grimsby fan. And he's provided us with the lowdown on all things Grimsby Town. Here he is. Thank you so much, Josh.
We've only won 2 games in our last 13 league games, dropping points when we've been performing well. I've been to a lot of home games so far this season. When we played Chesterfield at home, we probably should have come away with a point, but we lost. Notts County again, played them off the park, but they scored in the last 5 minutes. So we've been dropping points where really we should have probably won and got 3 points. And it was the same against Halifax in the first Monday of January on TV. If you'd have watched it, we had goals cleared off the line, chances hitting the woodwork, and we only came away with a point at the end of it. So you could say really that Grimsby being sort of mid-table at the minute or just in the top half is a false position for them, really, for the way they've been playing. They deserve a lot more and to be probably in the playoffs at least, even if it's in the bottom half of the playoffs. They've not done that much wrong. Now, going from Saturday just gone when we won 2-0, new arrivals Danny Amos and Andy Smith. Now, they're not natural fullbacks, but they were asked to play in that role, and they did really well. They provided solidity in the back four, which I've not seen for a while, to be honest. It didn't look as shaky. It looked very structured, and they looked like they all knew what they were doing with each other. I've done a bit of research, and I've noticed that Bromley have won 5 games in their last 11 league games. So, as I say, they're definitely the in-form side out of the two. I've noticed that Michael Cheek for Bromley has 15 goals this season, so I expect him to be very much a pivotal part of the starting 11 and also to keep the Grimsby back four very busy. I'll be sure to keep an eye out on him. I watched some highlights from Bromley's game against Aldershot at the weekend, and Joe Partington's free kick, wow, what a finish, straight into the top corner, the bend, the whip. I'd be careful, you know, giving away free kicks in sort of within 25 yards if he's going to start, because I reckon he could cause a bit of problems and maybe even pop one in himself. The previous fixture ended 3-1. I can't see us winning, I'll be honest. We'd have to be performing 110% plus another 10%, I think, to get a win at the weekend. Bromley, I do believe, are probably stronger when I've watched them a few times on telly as well. As I say, form dictates that we are not favourites for this game, even at home. Bromley, I'd imagine, will be your favourites to come away with all 3 points. But if we've got a change in fortune, I'd put a draw onto this game. So, yeah, 1-1 I'm going to go for. Cheers for the opportunity, guys.
Big thanks to Josh there, who is a real person.
It's not me. Yeah.
I really appreciate that. Like I say, we always reach out to clubs, and it haven't been very forthcoming this season, but that's 2 weeks in a row now, Aldershot and Grimsby.
So fantastic. Thanks to them both.
Big thank you.
Absolutely brilliant. And we look forward to the game. Obviously, we've mentioned coach spaces still available. And Jeff, you're going to make the trip as well.
Oh, God. I can't wait. Just give me some football. I just want 90 minutes of football. Watch your football on the pitch, win, lose or draw, just, yes, football. Give me football.
And it's going to be me and Josh on the commentary, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, apologies, I'm not going to commentate. I'm going to go on a terrace, I think. I'm going to have a beer.
So, Josh, you're back in the squad after a few weeks on the sidelines. You're back in the squad. Here's your chance. Show me what you can do. Right, anyway, I think that's it for today, isn't it, Jeff? It seems like we've gone through a lot.
That's it for the week.
Yeah.
Done. Give me some football at the weekend. I'm happy.
Thanks so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you to
Thank
Jeff.
You for putting up
Thank you to
always.
Josh. And we will be back with you again soon. Thanks, everyone.
Go, bro. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me.